What's going to happen with the Falcons on the road against the Broncos? We'll talk about it coming up a little bit later on this hour. And, of course, at 5 o'clock, you'll hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. The quarterback report is on the way. But, Mike, I got to tell you, man, it kind of got me down when you said that about Mike Tyson tonight and Jake Paul and Father Time. Because you're right. I mean, like, the problem I think we're all having, especially people that saw Tyson in his prime,
right?
You still see him in that way. Regardless if it's an exhibition, street fight, whatever you want to say. And, you know, the problem is I can't get that vision out of my head as to how I viewed him and why he was at one point the baddest man on the planet.
Right.
And so when you said that just a few minutes ago, I'm like, okay, you know what? You've got to realize that he's not that guy. Like you said, he's 58. He's not 28. And what does that mean? It means that at times, if you watch this tonight, he probably looks slow. That there are times where he's gonna get hit. You know what I mean? Like there are things that we weren't used to. Now at the end of his career, you know, there was a lot going on with Mike, and everybody knows Evander Holyfield and all the craziness. I'm talking about prior to all of that, and so I just feel like that's my issue. But I kind of feel like you're right on this.
Look, I get it. You know, Jake Paul, the only guy he ever fought that's actually a fighter, you know, was Tommy Fury. You know, younger brother of the good Fury. And, you know, he's had like 10 fights under his belt, and he beat him on decision.
But he beat two MMA guys, though, didn't he?
But he beat Silva. You know, I know Silva's considered more of a grappler, but he knows how to strike, too. And that's a guy, now, he was in his late 30s.
Right.
But, you know, Mike Tyson's, you know, he's pushing, he's older than you and I. Yeah. You know, I mean, you understand, I love Tyson. We all do. I mean, he had his personal issues and he paid the price for it. I get that. But still, you know, I think he's kind of done the 180 and he's sort of become a guy that he's fun to listen to when he just lets it all hang out. But this is still, you know, a dude that's got a little bit of a reach advantage on him. And the smack thing, like that was, he crawled up onto the way and he stepped on his toe. So whether it was a visceral reaction or more likely it was just convoluted to get people talking about the fight like we are. I saw some of the things today on social media, but I just think, remember guys, Tyson lost like four of the last five fights he had when he was like still, you know, in his 30s.
Right.
So it's just hard to wrap your head around it. I just want to be entertained. You know, a lot of folks just feel this is going to be a whole lot of nothing tonight after all this hype.
Dana White just said this to Robert Griffin Jr. III. He said he's fighting a guy, talking about tonight's fight. He says Jake Paul's fighting a guy who's almost 60 years old. That says it all.
Right.
There's nothing else that needs to be said. He says him and Mike are going to make a blank totem, a ton of money. But Jake Paul can fight. He just won't fight anybody.
Right.
When asked about, okay, have you thought about bringing him into the fold? And, you know, listen, he's got a draw and all this stuff. And that is what Dana White is saying from a UFC standpoint. He just doesn't want to fight anybody. So, Mike, he will do these exhibitions. They'll make a ton of money. But if you're going to be taken seriously, you got to get in the fight game for real. And that's the other part about this with Jake Paul. Like, you can do these things, and it's great, but you're basically fighting guys that are washed up or old.
Right.
How can I look at you as a real contender if you don't want to get in the fight game?
Look, Jake Paul has made a fortune on YouTube. He's one of the first YouTube zillionaires, all this. It is for some folks, it's a different generation. And, like, how did this guy get to where he is? Again, sizzle and steak, man, just creating the buzz and getting people fired up. But, you know, it's just Tyson. I get it. Tyson looks like he's carved. Look, you can go to LA Fitness right now. There's a guy who's 58 who's carved out of wood. Doesn't mean he can box.
You're right.
You know? And I get it. Tyson, we're all living in those moments. And yeah, we'll never forget it when Michael Spinks literally peed down his leg when Tyson jumped in the ring in Atlantic City. You know, Frank Bruno, like trying to run out of the ring. All those great moments. But again, that's ancient history. So I will, but the caveat I will say, I hope I'm wrong. It's funny. I saw Dave Portnoy posted from Barstool Sports. He's like, I didn't realize you could bet on this. To your point, I thought this was an exhibition. So, and he's like, I think he's saying, I don't know if he's going to put a six figure on it, but I think he agrees with me that like it's going to be Jake Paul.
All right, guys, we got plenty more to get to, including this.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
What's Kirby's message to the team this week as they get ready for Tennessee tomorrow night? We'll talk about it. Let's get into the dogs. All right, so is Kirby and the staff being completely honest with Carson Beck about his play? Are they coddling him, as some of our listeners have said? Oh, he's holding his quarterback too tightly. Listen, Kirby said this when asked about when Carson needs to hear these moments of adversity about what he's dealing with. We don't sugarcoat it.
There's need to hear, and then there's need to reaffirm what's true. You know, what's the actual truth? Because we don't deal in narratives and themes and what people say and social media fodder and what you guys think. We deal in truths, and the truth is what we usually say tell them. You know, like, that's a good decision. That's a poor decision. That's a good drop. That's a bad drop. That's a good protection of the ball. If you're going to take a sack, that's a poor protection of the ball. We deal in truths, and we don't go much past that.
Okay. I mean, I get it. You know, just keeping it real, keeping it inside those four walls and drown out the noise. Anything that any other coach has said, Kirby said that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I just, but yeah, like, you got to have faith in your teammates. And it's just, I haven't heard, there's nobody squawking or saying anything about Carson Beck. And the other thing with Carson, guys, it's funny because after Kirby called, you know, Pope an idiot for dancing around after they lost the game at Ole Miss, we've had so many people on social media and even some talking heads going, but he coddles his quarterback because he doesn't believe in Gunnar Stockton.
You're right.
Hello.
You're right.
Know, I mean, he sees him every day at practice. He's riding and dying with Beck. You know, I know you mentioned Jaden Rashada. Oh, eventually. But right now, he's Kirby's always done this. He always goes with the guy with the most reps, the most experience.
Yeah, even when it costs you, though?
Yeah.
The answer is yeah, right?
Well, I mean, if this blows up in their face, if Tennessee finds a way, because I think three losses, you're out, period, is, you know, you can argue, was Carson Beck as dynamic? And you and I, we had this debate. I think Oren was saying, no, you don't have to have a superstar quarterback. You have to have competent quarterback play. But when your defense is kind of just not what it used to be in your offense, that's where you really do need this the total dual threat when your offensive line can't protect. Now, I know that easier said than done, right? But still, I just feel you need a little more dynamic quarterback play than what you're getting. And then let alone don't throw it to the other guys.
I'm with you. Meanwhile, Kirby was asked about the SEC. Is it more challenging without divisions? Here was his response.
Yeah, I think statistics say there's more parity. I mean, just looking at the sheer differentials in games, looking at the matchups, looking at the number of teams that are still in it. Some of that's because of the non-divisions. It brings everybody into it. But there's a lot of good football teams, and it's a war of attrition. It's like I've talked about all year. It's an emotional roller coaster that you don't want to be a part of. You want to navigate this thing with a long-term mindset and your approach to it. And there's a lot of good football teams out there, and there's a lot of good games left to be played. There's a lot of good teams left to play games.
Here's the message.
Who's typing furiously in the background, by the way? Was that Seth Emerson?
Some reporter. Might have been some reporter.
Hey, dude, I feel bad for that guy's keyboard.
Heavy hands. heavy fingers. The message is simple. We cannot get outplayed the way we did up front last week. And I'm sure that he has challenged both the offensive and defensive lines to step up. It doesn't matter who's running the football. Doesn't matter who's running the routes. It really doesn't even matter, to be honest with you, and we know it's going to be Carson Beck who's throwing the football. We got our butts whipped last week. And so coming into this game, Mike, that is the message from Kirby to say, what are you going to do about it? And if the Dogs win this game, and again, I still think they will, I do think it's going to be close, but I just feel like if you're asking me right now in his career who I'm rolling with, am I rolling with Kirby Smart in these big moments, or am I rolling with Josh Heupel? I'm rolling with Kirby Smart because I've seen his teams respond even when we thought they were not going to do it. So I'm rolling with him, but that's the message. Are you guys going to step up and block some damn body? Are you guys going to tackle correctly, make the plays where you're supposed to make the plays and be in the spot you're supposed to be in? That's what got you beat last week. Ole Miss got after you, and you didn't respond the way you needed to. So that is what I think he's preaching, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. We'll see what team shows up. We'll see what Carson Beck shows up. But if they don't respond in this moment, they just know it's all on them. It's their fault that they're not going to be in the college football playoff.
Mm. Yeah, man, we've gone round and round about, you know, the imperfections of the SEC teams this year. You know, it's funny how Texas, yeah, they don't have the strength of schedule that Georgia has, but they're playing it to their advantage. I think I'm just curious, will Texas be able to handle the playoff opponents after what Georgia did to them in their own house? And then how Georgia, it's just kind of it's wide open. And we've already talked about it. NIL, transfer portal, teams that usually have more depth than anybody don't have that depth. Georgia's a perfect example with the O-line. It's wide open. Oregon's still out there. You know, Oregon is still out there. And I just, and that's kind of like the closest thing to what Kirby wants to be is what Oregon is, right? With what Dan Lanning's put together.
I agree. Coming up, picks of the week. Oh, where are we going? Who do we like? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell. It's time for the picks of the week. We are going to give you our games three, whether it's college football, the NFL, against the spread, or over-unders. Right now, Mike's 12-17. Oren is 14-15. Chris Turtle is 15-14, and I'm at 18-11. Lots of season left to go. We said it. I think all of us got off to a slow start. Some of these college games have been very difficult to handicap, but we're at a point now in the season, much like the dogs, where it's make or break, and this is a big week. Mike, we'll start with you. We need three winners.
Yeah, man. I've got three losses, again, attributed to tequila down in Tampa Bay 3 weeks ago. And my ankle still hurts from jumping out of that boat. I don't know. All right, man. Carl, Chris, what was that pick that Carl did last week that we were killing? It was Memphis versus somebody?
Yeah, it did.
Right. Yeah, it was Memphis, and then it was 7.5, and it was 7.
I figure if Carl's going to go that low, if he's going to stoop to those kinds of games out of market, I've got a rock and roll winner for you, Carl. We partied with these people once in New Orleans. I'm taking the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana Lafayette -7 against Southern Alabama. Pay your $5 for ESPN Plus and enjoy the goodness.
All right, listen, Raging Cajuns, what's their record, by the way?
They're pretty good. They're 8-1. This is trying to lock in the Sun Belt Championship game. So I'm going to take those Raging Cajuns from Louisiana Lafayette, everybody, -7 over Southern Alabama. By the way, I was looking at BYU. It's only 2.5 over Kansas.
Okay.
And Kansas is like 3 games under .500.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're getting some guys back. I guess the offensive line is reshuffled. And I don't know, man. This is BYU at home with all those crazy Mormons going bananas, Carl. You know?
I told you this. We were talking about BYU. I think they're underrated. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I still want to see them play somebody. Neutral site will be a different story.
Right. I mean, Vegas knows something about these injuries. But, I'm taking the bet. Coach Satake in that hat of his, it looks like a yarmulke because his head is like the size of a manhole cover. I'm going to go with those Cougars. The Cougars -2.5 against Kansas. Seems incredibly low. I'm sure I can hear steak in my head. It's a trap. All right, and then finally, Green Bay -5.5 against Chicago. Lots of injuries on the Packers defense, but I don't think enough to get the Bears, who are completely screwed up right now and just 6 ways to Sunday. So I'm going to take the Bears. I'm sorry, Green Bay -5.5 over the Bears, Louisiana Lafayette, and BYU.
I like it. That Bears pick, remember, they got a new guy calling the plays, Thomas Brown. Dog fans are familiar with him. He's going to be calling the plays this weekend. We'll see how long it takes for them to click. I don't know if it necessarily changes a whole lot for the Bears and where they are right now. All right, Oren, 14-15 on the season. Big O, what you got?
Go a little bit higher profile game than the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns and South Alabama down there, yes.
He started it, okay?
Well, he did blame start him. It, yes. I'm going to blame
Wait
him.
Wait a minute. These are legitimate teams. You guys act like I picked some team that didn't exist.
If you play on a Friday night, man, I've got a couple questions for you. We're going to do Texas -12 versus Arkansas. It's a rivalry game, but I'm going to go hook them on that one. I think Texas is rolling. I think Quinn is rolling. I think they got some things figured out. So, yeah, give me them. Bengals, give me the Bengals +1.5 versus the Chargers. They got.
You're going to continue to roll with these guys?
They got T. Higgins back this week, man. They got T. Higgins back this week, and Chargers are a tough defense, but I think the Bengals can do enough offensively to get that win. So, yeah, give me the Bengals +1.5. And I was thinking about this one, but hearing how enthused BMAC was by it, though, give me Mahomes and company, man, +2 versus Buffalo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buffalo's struggling at the wide receiver room. That's for darn sure.
Yeah, I'm really debating that one. I'm with you. That Chiefs-Bills game, that's a 4 o'clock game, guys. Buffalo is favored by 2 points. You like Mahomes, right, Big O?
I like Mahomes, man. He said if he's an underdog, don't bet against him.
No, he's not lying. Chris Turtle, what do you got? He's 15-14 on the season. This is our pick segment, guys. Coming up, we are going to talk to Steve Kuhn and Hawk CEO in less than 10 minutes. What you got, Turtle?
Go Dogs. You know what? Season's on the line.
They're
coming out strong this week. Carson Beck is going to have that game that we've all been hoping for him to have. Tennessee, Tiger, Nico Iamaleva, a little banged up. Give me UGA -9.5, statement game at night in Athens to start off my picks. Then give me a couple of teams that are desperate as well to save their season in the NFL. Coming off a big win in L.A. Give me Miami minus 7 versus the stinky Raiders. They get back to 4-6 and continue to try to save their season. And then give me the San Francisco 49ers. This is the week where they turn it on and they just start rolling for the rest of the season. San Francisco divisional game minus 6.5 at home versus Seattle.
Christian McCaffrey looked very average last week.
He did.
I know it was his first week back, but he looked very average. The guys that have been playing in place of him have been better, but we will see. I am so glad that none of you took the games that I am thinking about taking right now.
Well, you've been on fire, so it means we're screwed.
Let's start with the Steelers. They will cover the 3 at home against the Ravens. Speaking of peaking, Chris, they're peaking at the right time.
So you're saying Lamar Jackson's going to go to 1-4 in his career against Pittsburgh.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And the Steelers getting 3 at home? I don't quite understand this line. Now, I do from the standpoint that the Ravens offense and how they've scored this year, Vegas is looking at this and they're going, oh, Steelers have struggled to score, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be a dogfight. I think they cover the 3. Don't know if they win, but give me the plus 3 for the Steelers. It is time for us and the rest of the college football world to recognize what Deion Sanders in Colorado is doing. They get Utah at home this weekend. Shedeur Sanders has thrown for over 2,882 yards, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He should be invited to the Heisman Trophy presentation. But the guy that's going to win the Heisman is on his team, and that's Travis Hunter, who's accounted for 9 touchdowns, 68 balls, Mike, and 856 yards. They are not going to slip up. And let me throw something else at you guys. Who leads the Big 12 in sacks? It's the Buffaloes, 29. And they have a kid named B.J. Green who's balling out of control. Mm. They will not only beat Utah, they will beat Kansas. And, Mike, you just talked about Kansas. And then they get Okie State. Guess what if all of that happens? They're playing for the Big 12 championship and a top seed in the college football playoff. Who knew? Give me Colorado to cover the 11 at home against Utah. Last but not least, the Lions are really good, y'all. And they're not going to have any problems with the Jags this weekend. They're looking to start off 9-1 for the first time since 1934. They're 7-2 against the spread. I'm taking the 2 touchdowns, Mike, 14 points. The Lions will cover this because Mac Jones, who?
Mac Jones
is starting for the Jags. Trevor Lawrence is hurt. They have a +8 turnover differential. And, oh, by the way, Montgomery and Gibbs, guys, each one of those guys has 700-plus yards from scrimmage. Not combined, each one of them. Jags are giving up about 130 yards rushing a game. This is easy eating for the Lions if they come out motivated. And, boy, I hope they do. Give me Steelers to cover the 3. Give me CU to cover the 11. And I like the Lions by 14 to beat the Jags. Those are our picks.
And no sooner we get done, Carl, I get Steak just texting me. He goes, it is a trap, the BYU game.
He thinks they're going to lose?
Well, Vegas wouldn't have that number so low. I mean, they just felt that BYU just got beat up by a physical matchup with Utah, which bodes well for your Colorado picks. That was, you know, a typical just battle royal.
It was.
Between the 2 Utes and the Cougars last week.
Utah has won 3 in a row at Folsom Field, by the way. So that's the other part of this. You don't think Deion's saying, wait a minute.
Right.
I know we weren't here for all of this, but they've pretty much owned us on our field, and we got a shot to maybe play in the Big 12 championship. That's not happening. I think they cover. Last week it was, they beat, I think it was Tech. They beat them like for Texas Tech, 41-27. But if that's the score Saturday, Mike, they cover. So I'm going to roll with Colorado.
Right on.
Hey, man, Steve Koonin's on the way. We're going to talk more about our Falcons. The quarterback report is on the way. What does Kirk Cousins think about this defense he's got to face on Sunday? Brandon Cristall, who covers the Broncos in Denver, is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. You will hear Barbara Dooley's take on Tennessee. Oh, we got a lot more to get to. Steve Koonin's next. Steve Koonin is here, Hawks CEO, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And we're getting ready for another Hawks game tonight here at State Farm Arena. And, Steve, a lot's going on with this team. But everybody around the league's talking about the win against Boston the other night. And I'm just curious, like, nobody gave us a shot, obviously, with no Trey and all the injuries. What an incredible win and a signature win to start the season.
Yeah, it was you know, the tournament has started. The NBA Cup hunt is on, and playing on that green floor seemed to have agreed with us.
Well, we know that everybody amps it up, Steve, when they're playing for the Emirates Cup. It just takes it to another level. But
exactly right, Mike. Thank you.
Hey, and by the way, I don't know if you heard through the grapevine, three times now already we're giving praise to your front office for the moves they made. Dyson Daniels, by the way, our listeners were going bananas. They maybe not hadn't heard him speak, but so likable. And the ethos, Carl, that he brings to the table, you know, physicality and a defensive mindset and more scoring. So Dyson Daniels has been a revelation for us.
Yeah, Dyson's been great. He's actually setting some records. I think he's on a 3 or 4 game streak of 6 steals in a row. So defense is something that we've needed, and he's bringing it. And I'll also tell you, Larry Nance Jr., who came over in the same trade, has been lethal from three and making a real difference for us. So our front office, very proud of those guys, and they work really, really hard.
It's Steve Kuenen, Hawks CEO. The Hawks also unveiled their Nike NBA Fly City Edition uniforms. Steve, talk to us about this process. I mean, every year we go, oh, what's it going to look like? Like this has been in the works, right? Every year you're doing this, but this is how many years in the works now before we actually see the final product?
About 2.5 to 3 years ahead of time. And so there's always a thematic that Nike is working on, and these city editions represent, and there's so many elements of each one of the uniforms that come from our past, from our heritage. And the blue series, as I'll call it, has been a 2-year arc. So we did black last year with blue lettering. This year, white with blue, and you know, we've gotten a lot of praise. Unfortunately, our court, which will be unveiled tonight, is not blue. I loved our blue court last year, so I love our court this year. But the wilder, the better for me. I love that when you look at the TV during the NBA Cup, it brought to you by Harrah's, Cherokee Casino, good friends of the Hawks.
Cha-ching!
It absolutely, man. You know. It stops you in your tracks. It says there's something different. So tonight, I'll be curious to see what you guys think. Mike, I already know what you think.
I'm going to love it. Hawks fever,
there,
Carl.
You go, Michael.
Catch it.
The new and improved Mike Bell.
No, look, when you play like you did against Boston, I mean, these are everything we want. Get out of this darn rut of the play-in. Now, the key, Steve, is not to lose for the third time to the Wizards, because I just think this is where you don't want to go that one step forward, two steps back. So to build on that and get the dub tonight.
I'm planning to speak to the team in a few minutes, and I'm going to quote you.
Win one for the short, fat, white guy. No, I mean, I'm just
saying. Then they'll think I'm talking about myself.
That's great. Steve Kuenen, we have spent a lot of time talking this week about this Tennessee game. For those who don't know, Steve Kuenen is obviously a Georgia alum. And
a former linebacker.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
But we have been spending a lot of time. Are you nervous? Are you nervous?
No, not at all. And if you remember, if we could go play back last week's episode of our frivolity, I told you the Ole Miss game was the number one game that scared me on the schedule.
You did. You said
that was. I did. And all kidding aside, I did. That was a trap game of trap games.
Right.
And I think tomorrow night you'll see a team that looks more like the one that took the field against Texas than the one that took the field against Ole Miss, because our back's to the wall. I don't know how a team who was rated number one for the first half of the season now is officially out of the tournament and nobody believes in us.
Right.
But I think Kirby is very thankful for the scenario that we're in. And I think tomorrow night is going to be one of those nights that Georgia sets the record straight.
It is a Hawks CEO, and as we said, former Georgia Bulldog with a Steve Kuenen on the WadeFord.com hotline. It just seems like because of the depth issues, and Kirby's talked about, you know, some of it, and you just don't have what he's had in the past, which is just like being like Alabama, and Alabama's not Alabama anymore, Steve. It just, and I'm not trying to disparage Mark Richt, but it just feels a lot more like the Mark Richt teams
where you're
just not as dominant, and you just need some breaks, and you don't have any margin for error.
No, we lost to a really good Alabama team by a touchdown at the end of the game, and then we walked into a trap in Ole Miss that had been set a long time ago. Let's see tomorrow night. I think that, while Coach Rick was terrific, I think you're going to see Kirby's dogs, and I think the word he's going to use will be aggressive. We're going to eat tomorrow night. We're going to eat.
We gonna
and
eat.
Be elite. We going to eat. All right. Yeah.
Have your faith. You know, first of all, I do believe Carl still owes me the bet when he bet on Texas.
This is true. I do.
So let's not forget the prognostication coming from this side of the phone has been strong.
Yeah. We just screwed up the bet though, because Carl was going to be CEO for a day, but there was really no other. We should have made like Carl a beer vendor for a night at State Farm. That's what we
did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, we absolutely effed that up, because now I've got to go work. Right. That's why I haven't called to claim my winnings.
Oh my goodness, Steve Coonan. So people, again, if you're coming down tonight, but I'm just saying this, the court will look different, and Steve was talking about that. But that's going to be the case for all these cup games. By the way, this is wrapping up like before Christmas. I think December 15th or something like that, we'll crown a champion with the cup, and then, you know, we'll be back to the regular season and what the standings are. But I say all that to say, the courts and all the stuff that the NBA is trying to do to make this a little bit more fun for fans, and the intensity being amped up, I actually think it's working. Listen, Mike and I, we clown around, but I actually think it's working.
Well, TV ratings were up 86% for the first cup game, so I'm going to say that's a victory. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I think tonight will get a lot of attention, and you know, here's the good news. The game will be over, and you can go watch Mike Tyson and Jake Paul beat the hell out of each other.
Who do you like?
Who do I like? I like the medical staff. Somebody's having a stroke.
Yeah. I mean, it's Steve, we said this earlier. We all grew up with Tyson, but it's just, guy's 30. Like, I know he's not a professional boxer, and when he did fight a professional boxer, it was a split decision. It was a loss. But I want to believe. I think everyone of our generation wants to believe in Tyson, but Father Time is undefeated.
You know, I was very fortunate. I went to 11 Tyson fights.
Hmm.
You couldn't pay me to go to this one.
Right.
You can pay me to watch it on Netflix.
Right.
Because it's going to be, it's an exhibition. It's not a championship fight.
They're letting you bet on, you can bet on this fight, which surprised me too.
Yeah. Well, you can't in Georgia because we can't get it approved.
I know.
Maybe the winner of this fight will come to Georgia and fight the legislature for the right to gamble.
Carl, maybe next year you and I should seriously think about public office, and that'll be a one issue campaign about legalizing gambling.
I will be your campaign manager.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we could.
Oh, I like that idea. Seriously,
guys. We
could
win on that. Well,
we could win. Let the people vote.
You know, we are champions of this cause. We want it in our state, and we think it makes sense. And you know, every time I run into somebody, Steve, you've had this conversation. All this money's leaving our state. Like, it makes no sense.
39 other states have sports betting. Tonight's
correct.
The night.
Yeah. So, right. I'm with you on
and
that.
And we have the lottery. I mean, I can gamble. I can play the lottery. I can do it on my phone right now with the app from the Georgia Lottery.
Yep. Not sure how we ended up here, but I'm very thankful we did.
Mm. I know. Somebody get the Georgia legislature on the phone. Hey, man, we got to run. Steve Coonan, have a great weekend. He says this is not a trap game. He's not as worried as he was about Ole Miss. Dogs playing Falcons in Denver.
Dogs eat tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Down.
Thank you, Puffy K. You are elite.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There he is.
So what do you think, do you want to run from you? Would it be easier for me to get elected from my county or you from your county? Dukes and Bell, troubled men for troubled times.
Hey, I don't care. I'll tell you this. If we could get this passed, I'd run in any county. I mean, I don't even care where it's at. We have talked to a bunch of people about this, guys, and so this is nothing new. If you're just tuning in and like, oh, why are you guys talking about it? We've been talking
about
it for
funny,
the last 3 years.
Mike's running for congressional, whatever the state district from Coweta County. Didn't you, like, belittle Coweta County for decades? No! No.
Sir, that is not germane to this conversation.
And now you live amongst us. Indeed. Anyway, hey, man, big Falcon report coming up. You and I have been like, I don't know, perplexed about this matchup, man. We're going to get some clarity in the 5 o'clock hour from a guy who knows the Broncos, right?
Yes, we are. Brandon Cristall is going to stop by. And also, we'll hear from our quarterback. What are you talking about, my quarterback? Kirk Cousins. The quarterback report is coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.